We're talking about covenant faith. Yeah, covenant faith part three. And we are, we're going to start talking about what covenant faith actually produces. All right, what it produces for you. So when you start walking in covenant faith, these are the things that you can expect to see begin to come to pass in your life. Amen. Now, is it going to start immediately? Well, it depends on your need. Amen. I mean, the way the word is set up, the promises of God are set up in such a way that if you have need of healing, God, you can go to God and get healing. Amen. If you have a need that needs to be met, you can go to God and get that need met. But what God wants to do is take it a step further than that. He wants to bring you to the place where as you're moving, just like Jesus, when he walked through the land, as he was moving through the land, if something came up, it was there. It was right there for him. He didn't have to stop and ask God for it. It was right there for him. Amen. Now, they came after him to pay taxes that weren't even required of him to pay. They were just being greedy. They wanted more money. And so they came after him and they challenged Peter. They said, Peter, doesn't your master pay the temple tax? And Peter says, yeah. And that's what he said. He just assumed Jesus would, right? And he went on his way and he came into where Jesus was at. And Jesus said, Peter, what are these taxes for? Are they for us or for the people that are, you know, are they really for the children of the kingdom? Or are they for those that are outsiders? And he said, for the outsiders. And he said, but, you know, lest we offend them, go down to the lake, cast in a hook, and the first fish you pull up, open his mouth, and you'll pull out enough money to pay both our taxes. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, Jesus did it. But God had prepared it for him. It was right there for him. And at the moment he needed it, it was available. All he had to do was listen to God and do what God told him to do, and it would just, it would be like that. And, you know, we think, we have this idea that Jesus walked around as the Son of God and just made it all happen. And that's not the truth. He didn't come as the Son of God. He came as the Son of Man. He gave up his Godship. He gave up who he was as the Word. All right? He gave that up and became a man. Do you understand that? And so what he did as a prophet of God. He did as a man of God under covenant with God. He showed exactly how the covenant was meant to work. And you never see, the only time he ever has to pray, the only time he ever had to pray was when he was feeding the 5,000. And he said, you know, he held it up to the Father and said, Father, you know, bless this. Broke the bread, broke the meat, and they fed 5,000 one time, 4,000 another time. That was just men. They didn't count the women and children. Are you listening? The only time he prayed was when it was necessary to do something for somebody else. And most of the time, he had that ready because he would go out daily and pray and spend time with the Father. God's calling us in, people.
Yes.
And there's reasons why he's calling us in. The more we go into him, the more his we become in thought, word, and deed. If you're not going into the Father, what else are you going into all the time? That's what you're going to end up emulating. Now, what God is after is bringing you to a place where your faith is always working, always working. You don't use it for one thing and then put it up on the shelf for when you need it for something else. It will always be working. And I'm going to tell you something. By the time I'm done teaching this, if you get what I'm trying to tell you, you're going to fully please God. You're going to end up being the kind of person that you were meant to be all along. And it's all because you pursued covenant faith. You with me?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So, what covenant faith produces? All right, I'm going to go to Galatians 3, 13 and 14, and I'm going to lay it out again for you. I'm going to keep doing this until somewhere along the line it sticks. Because I don't know about you, but me, I live out of Galatians 3, 13 and 14. That's my fundamental passage for my covenant with God. So I'm going to start with that for you because it needs to become yours as well. Amen? And it's a very powerful passage. It's going to require some meditation. It's going to require some study, because you're going to have to take that very simple phrases that I'm going to read to you right now, and you're going to have to take those and search the word and begin to get an understanding of what it means and how you actually walk in it. Well, don't we walk in it by faith? Yeah, but there's so much more to learn. Amen? God wants us always learning. What covenant faith produces, all right? This is what we're going to talk about now. We talked about what it is. We're going to talk about what it produces, all right? Now, first thing that it's going to produce, and I'm taking this out of Galatians 3:13, is that it produces redemption from the curse of the law. All right, now Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us. And the word redeemed there is the word exagorasso. Vines defines that as a strengthened form of agorasso, which means to buy. Denotes to buy out, and that's exagorasso. What X is out of, and then agorasso means to buy. So it's talking about buying you out of something. Amen? And it's especially of purchasing a slave with a view to his freedom.
Praise God.
Jesus redeemed you for the purpose of your freedom from the curse of the law.
Amen.
Christ redeemed. He bought me out and made me free from the curse of the law. All right?
Amen.
It is used metaphorically, in Galatians 3:13 and Galatians 4:5, of the deliverance by Christ. Now, we'll qualify this. By Christ of Christian Jews from the law and its curse. From the law and its curse. So it's talking here, vines refers it back to the Jewish Christians. That includes us.
Yes.
Paul didn't write Galatians 3:13 to the Jews. Galatians, the church in Galatia, was Gentile fully. And so he wrote this scripture, he wrote this out for the Gentiles. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He bought us out into freedom from the curse of the law. Now, Vine says it correctly. It says out from underneath the law, that we've been bought out from underneath the law, and its curse. Now, most theologians today, they interpret this passage as meaning that we've been bought out from the law, just the law. We don't have to keep the law anymore. We're free from the law. Well, yeah, you are. But you're free from the law. If you're free from the law, what else are you free from? The curse of the law. Jesus redeemed us from, and that's out of, the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He became the curse. He didn't become the law. He became the curse. He became an accursed thing hanging on that tree. He took on the curse. And it consumed his body on the tree. And man, the centurion, when he saw him, he looked up at him. He said, oh my God, this surely must have been the Son of God. Because he thought he blew it with God, his God. And you know what? God was doing all of this to him. God wasn't doing it to him. He became the curse. God conferred the sin of man on him physically. And he became the curse. And it consumed his body in disease, consumed his body in every form. Are you listening? Now, goes on to say, having become a curse for us, the word become there literally just means to cause, to be, to become. It's the word ginomai. He became it. In other words, he wasn't the curse of the law until he hung on that cross. And that's what it says. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That was God setting Jesus up to take your and my curse. Because we couldn't keep the law.
Right.
Amen. Amen? Nobody can keep the law. The Jews couldn't keep the law. Pharisees were the worst bunch. They were consumed in covetousness and hatred. They were like walking over graves, man, full of dead man's bones. They weren't walking in the life of God, and they were preventing anybody else who was trying to get close to God from getting close to Him. Amen? So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The word curse there, katara, it just means it means the curse. It's an execration, imprecation, and curse. And what all of that means, because I hate those words, by the way, imprecation, execration, because they're just, who uses them today? I don't know if you're a reader or not. You might find it in some book somewhere just because somebody's showing off their vocabulary. But literally, all it means is to call down, to pray down some kind of destruction or ruin upon somebody.
Wow.
Curse is ruin. It's corruption. It's decay. It's the calling down of punishment on somebody. Right? That's basically all it means. Now, I'm going to get into just some excerpts. I'm not going to read a lot, but I want to read some of Deuteronomy 28. And it actually goes from verse 15 all the way to verse 60-something, 66 or something, 63 or 66. It's a lot of verses, all right? And it's loaded. It's loaded with the curse. I'm going to give you the ones that just kind of summarize. Is that okay? I'm going to give you some that just summarize. Because I don't know about you, but I hate reading all through there, man. Because it's just deadening. All right, some excerpts. The full curse being Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68. There it is. Deuteronomy 28, 45 through 48. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Aren't you glad you're out from under that? To keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. Wow. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever. On your descendants forever. So, this curse wasn't just for you. It was for you and your descendants. 47, verse 47. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart. That sounds like some of you. No, I'm just kidding. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Do you understand what's being said here? This is what it's saying. Because people did not serve the Lord their God with joy and gladness of heart, but rather they were after the abundance of everything. They were caught up in the abundance of everything. I've seen God bless people, and I've seen it ruin their lives and ruin their walks. Because they got blessed. They were believing God. They were walking with God. They were doing everything they were supposed to be doing. You know, I mean, simple stuff like faith. You know, just believe God and pray and do your best to serve God and walk with God and. And then they got blessed, and then they just walked away from God. They just started doing their own thing. Some of them ended up in divorce, going off on their own tangent. Because of the abundance of everything. We got to be careful about getting caught up in the abundance of things. Amen? Believe me, I know that one. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in need of everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you.
Wow.
Now, what people don't understand is that this curse wasn't for the children of Israel. God wrote this curse. He brought it into existence for them to understand that's the consequence of not being able to keep the law. Period. For everybody. Not just the Jews, for the Gentiles as well. You got people out there in Gentile nations that are suffering and going through hell, and they can't figure out why. They pray to their gods. They sacrifice to their gods. They offer up their children as burnt sacrifices to their gods. And it doesn't change. It gets worse. And it's because everybody's under that curse. That curse came about because of sin. Because of sin, because of Adam and Eve, none of us can keep the law perfectly. That's why Jesus couldn't be born of a man and a woman. He's the Word. God planted the seed of the Word into Mary, and he was conceived out of that. You've been born again, not by corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the Word of God. That's how we got born again, was by the Word of God.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Deuteronomy 28, 58 through 61. I'm only taking snippets. Because it gets detailed.
Very heavy.
If you do not carefully observe all the words of the law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. And also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of the law, will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Does that cover every kind of sickness and disease there is?
Yes, it does.
Sure does, doesn't it? You're redeemed. Now, it's not enough to sit there and go, yay, I'm redeemed. So I know that whenever I get sick, I can pray and ask God to heal me. Why would you do that? Why would you wait? Why would you not become entrenched in having been redeemed from the curse of the law? Every day, feeding on it, knowing it's yours, believing God, confessing it. Remember, one of the things that the covenant of faith is that it's speaking declarations unto God, confessing to God what you believe. What do you believe? Amen? All right. That kind of encapsulates it. It gets into a lot of ugly stuff. I didn't bother. And the reason I picked these two passages was simply because it talks about and it frames the passage in the fact that these are happening because people are not keeping the law. Right? They're not keeping the commandments. They're not keeping the statutes. The statutes were the Levitical law. The commandments were the Ten Commandments. And then whatever he told you to do, go do. Amen? That's a commandment to you. God tells you to do something, that's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. We treat so much of God's word as just a suggestion. Did you know that's how you serve the Lord your God? Is by keeping his commandments, doing what he asks you to do. It's how you serve him. Well, he hasn't told me anything. I beg to differ. You got a book full of things he's told you to do. Amen? Now, you're not required to keep the Levitical law. Amen? But Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And you know what? You get to the end of Revelations, and when it sums it all up, it sums it all up in believing on the Lord Jesus and keeping the commandments of God. That's how that's the end of Revelations. That's the oldest book. One of the oldest books. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. John covers this. He saw a bunch of people not walking in the truth when he came back from the island of Patmos. And he would tell people, it blesses me to see your children walking in the truth. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Now, I'm going to stop there on redeemed from the curse of the law. You've been redeemed from this. You've been bought out from under this with a view to freedom. Amen? Isn't that awesome? All right? That's God. That's God. But you need to go study this. You need to go find out just how true this is for you. And then make it part of your life. Make it part of your walk with God. This is what you got to know. This is what the covenant of faith does. When you start walking by faith, people, amen?
Praise you, Jesus.
Didn't we talk about walking by faith last week?
Yes.
The just shall live by faith. This is what you're doing. Now, we should be spending more time building up our covenant understanding, building up, you know, our faith. You know, you grow in faith or you get diminished in faith. Did you know that? Your faith doesn't always stay the same. You throw it on the shelf and pull it off and blow the dust off it, it's weak. It's weak at the most, it's weak. You live and walk in faith every day, it'll be strong. Something comes up, you just pray, you just speak it out, and it comes to pass. I get a little frustrated with myself because I spend a lot of time feeding myself with the word, feeding myself knowing you know, what God has done for me, my covenant with God. I feed it, and I still forget sometimes. I'll get into a situation, you know, where something's not quite right, and I'll sit there and kind of struggle with it for a little bit, and then all of a sudden it kind of dawns on me. What are you doing? Where's your faith? Just like Jesus did with his disciples, man, when the storm was rolling in and the boat was filling up. He's like, where's your faith? How is it you have no faith? That amazed him. And all of a sudden I'll realize, wait a second, what am I doing? I don't need to struggle with this. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to believe God.
Yes.
I'm going to take authority over this thing and break the power of it from over me. Whether it's something in my life or something in my body or something that's going on, I finally get the clue and I do it, and in no time it's dealt with. It's gone. Or what I need is brought in. Amen? I'm bragging. You understand that, right? I'm bragging. Why? Because it works. Am I bragging on me? No. Bragging on what God has, what He's promised us, and what belongs to us now. Excuse me. Let's keep going. The next thing that is part of our covenant, this is what our covenant is. This is what the covenant of faith will bring into your life.
Praise God.
It will bring this into your life. The first one is your redemption from the curse of the law. How would you like, going back to the curse of the law for a second, this is what covenant faith does. How would you like, instead of just getting healed and then, you know, not dying, doing everything the doctor tells you to do, and then you end up living and not dying, would you rather that or would you rather never get it?
Never get it.
Never get it. Now, the devil's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge your body. But when you are walking by faith, living by faith, you're in that covenant faith. You know what belongs to you. You're declaring these things before they ever manifest. Something tries to manifest, you kick the devil in the head with the word, and you knock him out of the way, you blow it out of your body, and it's done. And it never gets a chance to set in. Now, I'm 70 years old. I went to a doctor and it almost made me not want to ever go back. And he's like, oh yeah, you got this and you got this, you got to deal with that, you got to deal with that. And I'm sitting there going, you know what, man, I've been doing just fine until I came here. Now, according to him, I'm about to die. Well, let's have an argument. Let's see how long we can go. Amen? God hasn't failed me yet. And He won't fail me.
Amen.
Amen. It wasn't really that bad. I'm just, you know, they think, you know, for example, you know, your blood sugar is a little bit high. My blood sugar is a little bit high, and it's because I've been eating wrong. Just confessing my sin. If I stopped eating wrong and started eating right, it would go down to, it was at absolute normal. I would take my blood sugar and it would be like 80, 90. And nothing, I mean, if it was over 100, it'd be just barely over 100 after I ate dinner 2 hours later. Now it's like 124 after eating 2 hours later. Some of you are going, wow, that's nothing, man. Well, in my mind, it's nothing, and I know what the problem is. All I got to do is make the correction, right? God doesn't allow for stupidity. He loves us. He loves us. But have you ever noticed what it says? And it caught me this morning. No, it caught me last night when I was reading the Word. Spending time in the Word. In James 1, 4, where it talks about, but let patience have its perfect work, completing work, that you may be what?
Perfect.
Complete. Lacking nothing. Complete there actually means, is the word holoclerus, it means physically healthy and whole, and then lacking nothing. But did you know what the word perfect means? It means mature. It means complete in moral character. It means sometimes you're going to go through trial because of your moral character brought you there. And as you deal with that, and you use your faith, see, this is where you got to believe God loves you no matter what.
Absolutely.
You have to believe that God's there for you no matter what, that He loves you. You're His kid. And just because you did something stupid, He still loves you. But in order to get you out of that, you got to change. Right? Because why? Because if you don't change, most likely you're not going to get your result. Or if you do, you're going to keep falling back into it over and over and over again. You're going to keep falling back into it over and over again. And God wants to prevent that. Amen? He's trying to help us prevent those kinds of things. Right? So that's why, that you may be perfect, mature, complete in your moral character. In other words, you're not given to the flesh. I added another scripture into my daily scriptures, you know, and it says, make no provision for the flesh that you may fulfill its lusts. I added that one. That's my daily scripture. I look at that every day. And every time I look at it, I know exactly what I got to change. And it's reminding me, you got to stop this because it's going to hurt you if you don't. I know eating sugar is bad for me. I know eating a lot of carbs is bad for me. Amen? I'm not stupid. But I am stupid if I keep doing it, right? You know, somebody keeps doing something that's going to eventually end their life. I love them. I'll miss them. But I can't feel sorry for them. Especially if they were told over and over again. Amen? It's why we got to grow up, people. We got to get mature. And I'm going to talk about that more later on. Anyway, point being, that's the first one. First one is, you know, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Second one is that the blessing of Abraham. Look at this. It says in verse 14, it says, Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law, having become a curse for you. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs from a tree. That, and that word that, T-H-A-T, I didn't put it in here, actually means that, for that reason. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. So the fact that Jesus bore the curse of the law and delivered you and me from it, that we've been bought out from under it, now we have the ability to have the blessing of Abraham in our lives. And He did it so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. How many of you are in Christ Jesus?
Amen.
Well, you're Gentiles too. At least I don't know if any of you are Jewish in the room, but if you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. There's only two distinctions there, right? Jew and Gentile. I'm a Gentile. I didn't merit anything from the covenant of God. But God had Jesus do these things so that I could take the benefit of it as well. Being in Christ. That the blessing. Say blessing.
Blessing.
That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Specifically, might come upon the Gentiles. And the word blessing there is the word eulogia with an A at the end. I-A. And it means benediction. Benediction means approval, sanction, and blessing. By extension, it means benefit or largesse. And largesse means generosity. These are old English words. And that's, you know, and that's because Strong's was done, you know, back in time. But largesse means generosity, benefit and generosity. Thayer defines this word, eulogia, as an invocation of blessing, benediction, a concrete blessing or benefit. Say concrete blessing.
Concrete blessing.
Say concrete benefit.
Concrete benefit.
That the blessing, the concrete benefit of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles.
Praise God.
Now, listen to me. I'm not super into the prosperity message. But I'm still not stupid. The blessing of Abraham. What did Abraham declare before God when Melchizedek came out and brought the communion table out there, the bread and the wine? He said, I raise my hand before God that I will not take one thing from you guys. So that no man can say that I've made Abraham rich. God told Abraham, with blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Multiplying means multiplication. It includes children. It includes, you know, it includes things. I look at my house sometimes and I said, oh my God, Lord, we multiplied. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. We multiplied. Oh my God, I need a storage unit to house a lot of my multiplication. And we still can't fit it all in there. You go into my garage, you'd be like, what is wrong with you, man? Get another storage unit. No, man, I ain't paying for another storage unit. They're expensive. But you know what God told me one day? He said, isn't it nice to be able to afford a storage unit? I said, Lord, you're not helping any. Amen. The word might come, there's one word, and it's that word genomai. That it might, and Strong's defines it as to cause, to be, to generate, to become, or come into being. And then there it goes on to say what I shared before, to become, to come into existence. That the blessing of Abraham might come into existence upon the Gentiles. And the word upon there is actually the word ice. Typically the word upon in the Greek is usually a word. It's the word epi, and it means upon, but it sits on top of you. In this case, the word ice means to or into. In other words, that blessing comes to you and into you. So it's twofold. It's whatever is coming around you naturally, but it is also blessing and multiplication inside who you are as a person. The expansion of your reputation, the expansion of your knowledge and your skills. I just learned how to use AI agents. I'm teaching other people now. Some of you don't even know what that means. Carlos and I had a good discussion on that. Man, using AI, it's intense. Learning how to do it's a whole nother world. You got to know how to talk to those things, man. But they gave it to me, said, hey, we need you to do this. I said, I don't know how to use an agent. And my boss goes, well, you better learn. Because we know you're the one. Thanks. Took me about a week to get it down. Some of you could know some stuff. I mean, it wouldn't even take you very long to really get a working knowledge of some things to where you could increase your value. And open the door wide for your promotion in life. But too many people settle for being stagnant as people. They don't grow. And that's why you're so depressed in your life, is because there's not that growth. There's not that expansion. God never meant for you to be just high school graduate or a college graduate. He didn't mean for that. You know what I had to learn? God showed me one time. He goes, okay, you've mastered this. Now what are you going to do with it? I'm like, I thought I was all I was supposed to do was master this. No, he says, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep hitting your limit and just stopping there? That's the blessing of Abraham. Abraham never hit his limit. You understand that, right? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. I'll come to that one next, because that's the next one. The blessing of Abraham. Now let's look at this. All right? Hebrews 6:13 and 14 defines the blessing of Abraham. Well, it reinforces it. This is New Testament. Say New Testament.
New Testament.
I am so shocked. I mean, reading through Galatians 3 is like the covenant that God has established with us. And as I'm reading it, God identifies us with children of Abraham, being children of Abraham, sons of Abraham. And it isn't until the end that we're called sons of God. He equates them together. That's how close God was with Abraham. He said, hey, you know, they were on their way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he told his the other two angels with him, he said, you know, should we do this or should we tell Abraham what we're going to do? And it was because, you know, Lot was his nephew and he lived in Sodom. And he said, you know what, let's tell Abraham. And Abraham argued with God and said, hey, you know, what if you find, you know, 50 righteous people there? Are you going to destroy it for those 50 righteous? And he said, no, I won't. I'll save it. And he said, well, what about if there's only 40? What about if there's only 30? What about if there's only 20? I mean, some of you, man, somebody did that to you, you'd probably get upset. God goes, no, not for 20. He goes, what about 10? And he goes, I won't destroy it for 10 righteous people. There was only four. And one of them turned around and looked back and became a pillar of salt. Are you listening? Couldn't even find 10 righteous people in those city-states. And there was a lot of people there. All right. Hebrews 6, 13 and 14. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Now remember, God told Abraham, he said, in you all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He told him that, right? And I'll get into that. Or I might have gotten into it. If not, I'll get into it later. But he told him that. He said, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He already preached the gospel to Abraham, that he was going to bless all the nations with Abraham. You know how God saw what he said? That they now, all the nations participate in his blessing if they accept Jesus. Jesus is the true seed. God made the promise to Abraham's seed. Everybody thinks it's Isaac, but Isaac wasn't perfect, even though God honored and blessed him. He waited for the seed, the one that would keep the law perfectly, which was Jesus. He kept it perfectly. Because he kept it perfectly, the fullness of the covenant became his. Now, understand something I'm going to tell you right now. Because Jesus kept the law perfectly, the fullness of the covenant became Jesus's. It belongs to him.
Wow.
God isn't doing away with the promises that were fulfilled, that are being fulfilled through Christ. He's not doing away with the promises of Moses' covenant. He's doing away with the law of Moses' covenant. He's doing away with all the statutes. He's doing away with it all, and he's put it back on faith. What faith? The faith of Abraham, as I've been pounding on you with. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen? It wasn't anything Abraham done. Now, Abraham did everything God asked him to do, even to the point of offering his own son up as a sacrifice. He was willing to do whatever God asked. God was his friend. He was his friend. That's what God calls Abraham, his friend. Amen? God wasn't done with Abraham. God isn't done with Abraham. God is fulfilling everything he told Abraham to us now. With blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And that is the good news to us Gentiles, to all the nations of the earth, to all of us. Surely blessing. That word surely there means most certainly. It's a combination of two words, yea and men. And it means assuredly, most certainly, full surety, and men, which means verily, certainly, and truly. It's a double usage of the word, just like Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you. He would double it up. God doubled it up. Surely, surely, with blessing, I will bless you. And the word blessing there is the word eulogio. It's a different than the word eulogia. And it means to speak well of. Religiously, it means to bless, which means to thank or invoke a benediction, which means approval or blessing upon and prosper. There adds of God. Look at what it says. Of God, if God's doing the blessing, to cause to prosper, to make happy, to bestow blessings on, to prosper, to make happy. If you're not happy today, you're not walking in covenant with God. Are you listening? I'm happy, man. I'm full of joy. I sit down and think about what God's doing for me. I have a smile on my face. Even if anything, if something goes wrong, I don't care. I just kick it out and just, you know, God's a blessing. Man, God will turn this around. I ain't worried about this. God help me, and I'll do whatever I need to do to turn it around. Just show me what to do, and I'll do it. If I can't do anything, then I'll roll the care of it in your hands and let you take care of it. In your own sweet time, Father God, I ain't even worried about it. I've had to stay under people's scrutiny. I've had to stay under people's anger and animosity towards me. I've had to live under that. I've had to work under that over and over again. Can't take what's mine. I've had managers get let go who verbally came against me. And I didn't fight or anything. I just said, Lord, you know, frankly, I didn't even know about it until somebody told me. God took care of it for me. I didn't even know until somebody had told me about it. And that guy, the only person that got let go in that department was that one man. And he was a director. He was Jehovah's Witness, and he didn't like me because I was a pastor and a Christian. And he got let go. Am I bragging? No, I'm bragging on God. God took care of it. I didn't even know about it. I didn't pray against him. I didn't pray. I didn't do any. I really didn't even know. I just, you know what? I'm going to walk in love with this person just like I do with everybody. I've had people that, you know, were gay that hated my guts because I was a Christian and a pastor. I just walked in love with them. I didn't take it personal. Only to have them come back to me and say, you know, I was so mean to you and I am so sorry. You are cool. Yeah, I don't dislike you. I love you. I don't have to agree with what people are doing to love them.
That's right.
There's some of you I don't agree with what you're doing, and I still love you. I did, didn't I, baby? Then I set it up. I had to knock it down, you know. Praise God. Surely blessing, I will bless you. What does that mean, even? Go look at Abraham's life. Go look in the Word and study blessing and multiplying, what it means. Amen? Take some time and some initiative on your own to know and understand for yourself. That's the only way it's going to become yours. Otherwise, it's mine and you're just trying to piggyback off it. God wants you to have your own. He wants you to have that power and freedom with Him personally. To know your place with Him personally. The righteousness that you walk in. Amen?
Amen.
Understand something. No faith, no righteousness. That's N-O, not K-N-O-W. No faith, no righteousness. I don't care how good you think you're behaving. There's no righteousness in you. God can't receive that righteousness of works. That's why I'm telling you to get away from it. Walk and live by faith. Why? Because faith produces that righteousness. It causes that righteousness to be assigned to you.
Amen.
Amen? Third, promise of the Spirit. This is all out of Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Now, understand something, what I'm sharing with you guys here, okay? These are things that are done. You know, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That's done. That's done. It's not a promise to be fulfilled. It's a fact that's already been accomplished. If you're not walking in it, you're not participating in it, I mean, you got to figure out what you're doing wrong and get yourself, you know, squared up in covenant relationship with God. You know, maybe you're basing it too much on your looks. Maybe you're basing it too much on who you think you are. Maybe you're basing it too much on how good a person you think you are. Knock all that out and go to God by faith. Amen. Go to God by faith. Say, you know what? I want this. I want to walk in this, Lord. Show me how. But so far, everything I've given you has already been done. You're redeemed from the curse of the law. That's a fact. It's not a promise. Matter of fact, it says that you might in verse 14, it says that you might receive, wait a minute, how does it say it again? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Might come upon it. Because that's going to require some faith, people. That's going to require getting in line with Abraham. Right? That, it might. I mean, the condition is on us, not on God. But He's already made it available. It's already done. I'm not going and believing God for a $1 million home. I'm going and I'm believing God that I walk in covenant and that everything I do flourishes. And as it flourishes, God causes me to prosper and be blessed. Amen? I let it come to me. Call it in. Let it come to you. That's why you got to get into this from the get-go. You can't wait until you're desperate. There's no faith in desperation.
That's right.
You cannot manufacture faith. You build it up inside of you. And you can lose it in an instant if you don't pay attention.
Yep.
Something hits you and you got fear takes over, your faith is gone. You'll drop it like a hot potato. Amen. All right, so it's already done. The blessing has already been opened up to us. God gave He spoke the gospel to Abraham saying, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. It's done. It's in Christ. It's already done. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus?
Yes.
Then the blessing is yours. And then the third one is the promise of the Spirit. Galatians 3:14. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The word receive there is the word lambano, which literally means to take 90% of the time. I'd say probably more like 70 to 75% of the time. The word lambano is used as the word take, to take something from somebody. You know, to take it. All right? It's used as receive, but it's used as to receive in the sense of you have to take it for yourself. You got to reach out and take this. You know, we got some young people in here. You guys need to start taking what God has given to you for yourself.
Absolutely.
Don't wait for your parents to do it for you. Start taking it for yourself. There defines it as to take again and then to receive what is offered. To take what is offered. Somebody offers you, a bowl of ice cream, and you take it out of their hand. Eat your ice cream. Brian says, Dad, you want some ice cream? And he dumps some in a bowl and he hands it to me. I'm taking it. That's lambano. Amen? All right. That they might receive the promise of the Spirit. The word promise there literally means an announcement for information, assent, or pledge, especially a divine assurance of good. So it's all-encompassing. The word promise, epagalia, actually is an all-around word that can be used as me making an announcement. I'm going to be here next Sunday to preach the word. Amen? I made an announcement. It's on me to fulfill that, right? If I don't show up, then I failed that commitment. That's a promise. That's right. That's why somebody says, hey, can you come and do this and this and this? And I'll say, I don't know. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I can. I don't know what my schedule is. I'll have to check my schedule. I'll have to check my can. See if I want to. I'll have to check my want to. Check my can and my want to. Amen? I'm not going to make it. My kids would try and get me into that. They would try to make me make commitments. Didn't you? They would try to make me make commitments. And I'd say, I don't know. We'll see. I can't make that commitment. Come on, Dad. Because they knew the moment I said I was going to do it, I was stuck. No, I'm not making that commitment. First of all, I don't even know if I can. Second of all, let's wait and see whether I should. Especially if it's like they wanted a PlayStation 3 or something. Let's see. We'll see. Now, the word promise there is really important. The promise of the Spirit through faith implies something. Did Jesus go to the right hand of God? Is Jesus at the right hand of God? Yes. Did Jesus procure the promise of the Holy Spirit and send him to us? Did he do that? Yes, we did. Historically, we know that's the day of Pentecost. That is done, right?
Right.
He did that. He did what he promised his disciples he would do. He said, when I get up there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he will help you. Most of us don't use this help, but he's been sent to be our helper. The promise of the Spirit is it's an all-encompassing thing. It encompasses all kinds of things. Everything that the Holy Spirit can do, will do, and is about, it encompasses all of his help, all of what God has set him into the body of Christ to accomplish. Are you listening to me? Amen? Now, we know that the day of Pentecost was the fulfillment of the promise. Now, when Paul wrote this here, he said that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It wasn't talking about another day of Pentecost. It was talking about what was already done, what is going to become ours if we receive it. Amen? It's up to us to receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, what is the fullness of the promise of the Spirit? Acts chapter 2, 29 through 33 says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his body according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." All right, so he knew that. Verse 31, "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." Verse 32, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Now that's Peter talking. That's the moment after the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, when they heard the sound of the rushing mighty wind, when the Spirit came in and sat upon them as flames of fire, and they all began to speak with tongues. All right? People were outside gathering. 3,000 men alone were outside gathered up, trying to figure out what was going on. So Peter and the other disciples went outside, and Peter started preaching. And that's what he shared with them. Amen? He goes on to say, verse 32, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Verse 33, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received," and that word "received" there is that word lambano. He took it because it was his right to mandate the Holy Spirit to go. "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." Amen? He poured out this which you now see and hear. Them praying in tongues, because they heard them praying in tongues, because every man, and there was Jews from all over different countries that spoke different languages from the countries they were in. And they heard them all speak in their own languages of their countries. Amen? And he poured out this which you now see and hear. Now, I didn't add it in here, but he goes on to say, as a matter of fact, I'm going to read it to you. Give me 1 second. He picks up in verse 36. He goes on to say in that same chapter right there, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39, "For the promise," which we just read right now. He said he went and he got this. He said he received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He poured out this which you now see and hear. And he's including speaking in tongues and all of that, right? Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. For the promise, say promise.
Promise.
For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. To you, to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Is God still calling people to Him?
Yes.
Are we still people getting born again?
Yes.
Are we believers?
Yes.
Then the promise of it all belongs to us. So, I'm going to give you a heads up on this. I'm going to give you a head start, okay? So, starting with the day of Pentecost, them being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, them speaking in tongues, that's part of what the promise of the Holy Spirit is. Then you go on, and when Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit. And then you go, it goes on from there. And then John, in the Gospel of John, talks about the help of the Spirit. Now you need to understand that the book of John was written after the 1 Corinthians book was written. The book of John was written in around 90 AD. I think Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians around AD 60 or something like that. Between 50 and 65, somewhere in there. Many years before. So John added. He added things that the other synoptic gospels, synoptic just means similar gospels, he added things that they missed that he knew was important to the body of Christ. And one of them was the help of the Holy Spirit, what he would do. He would show you things to come. God, you guys should be seeing things to come in your life. You should be seeing it come. You should be led by the, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You should be walking in truth, letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you into all truth, to teach you and guide you and show you truth. Minimally these things. That's the promise of the Spirit. And it's to you. It's to all of us. Amen? Now, you'll notice in two of these, out of the three I'm sharing with you right now, two out of the three, Paul says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And the third one, it says that the promise of the Spirit might come upon us in Christ Jesus by faith, right? Let me see it again. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, right? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice he only mentions the Gentiles in one of those. And that's the blessings of Abraham. And why? It's because the redemption from the curse of the law, the promise of the Spirit were brand new to the Jews. And he extended out the blessing of Abraham to the Gentiles. He knew God wanted us to walk in that blessing as well. You got to understand, man. The Holy Spirit is a very powerful asset in your life. He has been sent to be your helper. That means one called alongside. Are you listening to me? And in some circles, the word in the Greek actually carries the meaning of being a legal aid, a legal assistant to help get you out of trouble.
Amen.
Did you hear me? Amen. To help get you out of trouble. I'll stop here for today. Did you get this? Amen.